Well, I don't know about you, but I can tell you one thing. Social media monitoring and constantly being vigilant for some piece of new information about coronavirus is going to drive us mad. And it is time for a madness hack. And we're going to talk about travel, which is a great antidote for stress and worry. Been to a lot of places in this country in my life, and I'm going to share some stories. And also, I was thinking that if you do have to bug out, there might be some interesting thoughts that will stick into your head about back roads. So we'll do it in podcast 911, Madness Hack, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, obviously, and I'm not going to talk about it in this podcast, but we're in a very critical period of time, and there's really not much more to be said about it. But as you know, I have a lot of sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast. One of them is Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They've sponsored the podcast for a long time, and they want to remind everybody that they're still available. If you have emergency plumbing needs, you call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Here's the number, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 online. At ryanplumbing.com. But the other thing is this. So if you're thinking about doing something with your bathrooms, any of this stuff, if you're going to be home a lot in the next few weeks, you're going to start thinking about some things that you need to look at. And of course, don't forget Ryan when it comes to improving the efficiency of heating systems for home or business. We're going to be getting into warmer weather. You're going to want to have AC checks. They can do that. And they can also do water heater repair, toilets, things of that nature. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. When you want quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Okay? Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on Stitcher.com. I mentioned those for Android devices. Tuned in, blogtalkradio.com. But one of the best methods for getting the podcast, regardless of what phone you have, is Spotify. Get an account and you can listen to the podcast. Also, PodMN. It's an app that you get on your phone as well for listening to local podcasts. Mine's on there. Of course, iTunes, the granddaddy. You can subscribe right off the page at the iTunes and using your podcast app on your iPhone. And also right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, you just click on the listen live button, and you can listen to the last three podcasts. I appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. When I put a post up, it's not really necessarily to get comments. It's to get people to share these podcasts, because that really, really helps me. And also, I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, especially for travel podcasts. So I bought a brand new National Geographic Atlas. And I have used atlases extensively in my travels across the country. And so I've got this atlas right here. And I like this atlas because it's the way that they have done the maps is great, because you can really – it's very clear, much better actually than my experience with the Grand – or the Rand McNally atlases. Not to say that they're bad. It's just this one is a little easier to see. And so I'm going to talk about the states I have been to and share some travelogue stories from those states. And as I do, I will turn the pages in the atlas. And if you've got one handy, a new one or an old one, it'd be cool to grab it, and then you can kind of follow along. So I've been to a lot of states. I don't know how long this podcast is going to be. It might end up being pretty long. So we're going to get started. We are all stuck inside. Some of us are in lockdown. There's cancellations, social distancing. They closed my yoga studio this week. And so we're into this whole thing about, well, what do you do? And what do you do to deal with the stress of either working from home, which you maybe not planned, or just worrying? And part of it is turning off the television. And the other part of it is turning off social media, because that's going to drive you even crazier. And what I do, and what I've done a lot lately anyway, because it's related to my business, is I think a lot about the road, and I think a lot about travel. And for me, travel of any kind, and as you know, if you've been listening to the Bob Davis podcasts, I only go back roads. So the type of travel that I'm talking about is the back roads, and for me, the back roads equal freedom. I don't need to repeat that whole thing. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about the successors to Mobile Podcast Command, which is, a 2000 Ford Super Duty ambulance. It's getting pretty old, 168,000 miles on it. Although my friend Joe tells me that you don't have to worry about that. That thing will run easily to 500,000 before you have to do anything. Thank you, Joe. But I am kind of occupying my mind a lot to think about what kind of truck or RV would be the best on the road and why. And it's related to the back roads I've been on and the back roads I'd like to take. So I want to just say before I start here, first of all, it's easier than telling you the states I've been to. It's easier for me to just give you the states that I have not been to and that I hope to go to at some point. So I'm going to do that in alphabetical order. I have not been to Alaska, which I don't know why I haven't, but I haven't. And one of my great ambitions is to do the Alcan Highway. I have not been to Maine. You're going to see a pattern here. New Hampshire, Vermont, New England. So I haven't been up to the far northwest, Alaska, and I have not been to the far northeast. So when I think about where I have not traveled and where I'd like to go, I would like to do the Alcan Highway, which is the Alaska-Canada highway, the Baja Peninsula all the way to Cabo. New England, of course. One of the trips I'm planning right now or looking at is the Lake Michigan shore of Michigan, either going north or south. And of course, that would be include a trip across the Upper Peninsula, which I have done, and it's amazing. And of course, New England and also across Canada. So if I was to go to New England, rather than going across Ohio, which I have been to, and New York and Massachusetts, which I've done coming the other way, I'd want to go up north into Canada and drive across Canada and then come down into Maine and then work through New England that way. So things that I do that most people don't do, and this is something I've just been able to suss from watching the shows that are involved with van life or looking at Instagram stuff or YouTube stuff. Most people who are doing the van life thing seem to me to be concentrating on state parks. So they're visiting and driving to state parks where they stay, or they are spending the winter months in one place in Texas, and then they're traveling back and forth. They're not doing what I usually do, which is I will cover a lot of territory really, really quick. The last trip I did, I was all over Iowa, and I went all the way to the tip of Texas to go to Padre Island and, of course, Matagorda, and then drove along the border until you get to Far Texas, P-H-A-R, and then coming up north all the way up to all the way up through the middle part of the United States. And I don't need to review that, but ending up in Sioux Falls, Sioux City, Iowa, and then up into Minnesota from there. And so I almost took a border-to-border trip in one trip. So I will cover a huge amount of territory in a short period of time. And so in terms of the kind of system that I need, just your standard RV is probably not good because my sense is a lot of these standard RVs, even if they're the big ones or the sort of big ones, aren't really built for really covering a lot of ground. And they're also not built to get into tight places. So I'm working on that and trying to figure out what kind of vehicle, what kind of system, as I would refer to it, that I want to do. So I've told you the states I haven't been to, and we've just dispensed with that. Rather than spend a lot of time doing a whole list of states, we're going to go through all of the states that I have been to, and I'm going to tell you some stories about where I've been and what I've seen there. So we're going to start with Alabama, and I've got the atlas right here. So we're going to go to the southern part of Alabama. Now, I've been through the northern part of Alabama, the central part of Alabama, at different times in my life, driving different kinds of vehicles. Most recently, I did the Gulf Shore. And the Gulf Shore around Mobile and all up through there, what they have referred to as the Redneck Riviera, which really starts at Destin, Florida. And then you come across, and I did that. I came across Pensacola and so forth. I'll get to that when I do the Florida part. But I found the whole coastline there in Alabama to just be really, really, really fantastic. So it was the Gulf Shore of Alabama, and that was really a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed that, and I'd highly recommend that. And I don't do interstate, so that would have been – it's hard to read because it's kind of dark in here, but that would have been – the roads that kind of run right along from Gulf Shores. You have to go north a little bit to Foley and then come back around and then just keep going. And you do have to get up on the freeway a couple of times, but then you come back down at Mobile and you go south and you go right back down onto the coastal road. So that's kind of a really cool trip. So then the next state, we're going to skip around, obviously, but the next state would be Arizona. And I've always been absolutely fascinated with the state of Arizona. First time I went out to Arizona was right after I graduated high school. And I went down to see my friend Andy in Phoenix and fell in love with the state then. And it is since then I've been able to pretty much cover the whole state, whether it's the last time was the southern part of the state, the border region down there, Tombstone, Flagstaff, and of course Flagstaff and Payson, Arizona are further up north of Phoenix. When you get down into the bottom half of the state, I went to Nogales right there on the border. Bisbee is a really cool town, Douglas. And then I was going east at the time back over to New Mexico. But if you go up into the northern part of the state, you get into Flagstaff, it's pine trees, it's not a desert. And then you come down through that area on, at the time I'm trying to figure out what I was on, probably coming down on 17, or in fact, I'm pretty sure it was through the Prescott Valley. So I would have come down from Flagstaff to Sedona all the way down there on alternate. I can't see that the lights aren't on in here, so I'm always doing my podcast in the dark on alternate 89, I think it is, and that comes down out of Flagstaff through Sedona, and that is an amazing drive, just beautiful, an amazing drive for people to take. And of course, I love the desert, so the western part of the state is also just amazing. It's actually, and we all know from Arizona highways that Arizona is one of the most picturesque states that there is, but it is also a great state to travel in. So now, and by the way, when I'm talking, obviously I'm turning this atlas up and down and spinning it all around in different places. Here's a state a lot of people don't talk about, Arkansas. And I'm just going to tell a quick story from Arkansas. So I think I came across Route 82 from Texarkana all the way across, and I ended up at some point in Arkansas being kind of amazed because there was actually a lot of Civil War action in Arkansas. And I went into this town and I met this person that worked at this local coffee store, and it was a great conversation. Arkansas, I've been to Texarkana. I've been through the industrial parts of Arkansas. I've been through the pine country and all of the sort of empty parts of Arkansas. And it's an easy state to forget, but it's also very, very interesting. Then we get to California. Of course, everybody knows California, right? So we got to turn the pages here to get to California. And while I'm talking about this, I should say, you know, if you are one of these people that interested in bugging out and thinking, well, at some point, obviously, I'm going to have to bug out. Remember the back roads. If they block anything, it's going to be the interstates, or the interstates are going to be jammed. So if people have to leave. And by the way, I just filled up my diesel tank in the truck, so I'm ready to go if I have to go somewhere else. But I would highly recommend that people really get an atlas and get a map and get a compass so that you can navigate in your vehicle without being confused. I think a lot of people think interstates because they don't have to think. If you take back roads, most of the time you're going to find that the back roads are pretty much empty. And so I highly recommend back roads for all travel because it's such a great experience. When I say back roads, I'm talking about state and U.S. highways dating back to the federal highway system. So California, obviously, the best trip I ever took to California was the Pacific Coast Highway. And I actually went all the way down from Oregon, actually Washington, all the way down through California to Los Angeles. But the best part of the PCH is probably from Northern California, so San Francisco, all the way down to L.A. It is breathtaking when you take that route. Now, I've been all over the state. I've been through the non-coastal regions of the state as well, the mountains and everything else. I think I've talked about Calistoga and the Donner Party. And of course, California is referred to as the Golden State because of that. The one thing I haven't done, though, is I've never gone from LA on the PCH all the way down to San Diego. So that's something I would like to do. You know, I mentioned earlier when I was talking about Ryan Plumbing and Heating that, I have sponsors who, of course, are still available during this trying time that we're going through. But when it comes to Andover, when it comes to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota, and I talk about Randy Grebo as a craftsman and as a resource to help people with building new kitchens or bathrooms or bedrooms, understandable that people are probably thinking, we're not doing anything. We're just going to sit here and eat beef jerky until this thing's over. But you're going to be spending a lot of time in your house. Maybe you want to put in, when this is all over, because it will end, you're going to want to put in an in-home office, because I got a feel, depending on how long this goes, you're going to see more people working at home or a new kitchen or something to that effect. So if you're looking around your house and you're thinking, boy, when this is all over, right? Don't forget Randy Grebo at whitetailbuildersinc.com. You can call him at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Remember, they're focused on the details, and they will be with you every step of the way. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. And good luck to you guys from Whitetail. And also, if you're going to be working at home, you're going to find out that your print cartridges are going to drive you crazy. Let me tell you something. You may not have to go to the big box retailer or leave the house at all, because guess what? Cartridge World delivers, and you can save 30% off compared to the big box stores when it comes to print cartridges. Cartridge World is available at 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Free delivery on qualifying orders, and let's not forget, why pay more to print? Cartridge World. Okay, so let's just move on directly to Colorado, which is the next state. Now, Colorado is really interesting because most of the time, I try to avoid Colorado during the winter, because I don't want to get stuck in those mountains during snowstorms. But I always thought, I'm going to just say a couple things about Colorado. Colorado, the eastern part of the state is really kind of like Nebraska. It feels, I don't want to say industrial, but it's very, there's really not much there. So if you are in Yuma, Colorado, if you're on 36, US 36, and you're coming across from Nebraska, you're talking about a lot of desolation. And 36 runs, parallel with Denver. Or if you're on 70, you might see some of it. But see, the interstates, intersect lots of towns. So if you're not on one of these, U.S. highways or a state highway, you're not going to see this kind of stuff. So the eastern part of Colorado is very different from the western part of the state. And there's some interesting things, because there's a lot of mining and different kinds of energy and different kinds of industries in Colorado. And then you get into the mountains. So you get west of Denver, and you're in high up in the Rockies. And of course, the vistas are incredible. Colorado is a great state to drive through. So I should mention, I've swung through Colorado and been through Colorado a couple of different times, and it's a really cool place. So then we get to Florida. So Florida comes after in the Atlas. It comes across. It comes. Well, I should mention Delaware. I don't know how I forgot Delaware on this list, because actually we got to go through Connecticut and Delaware. So, whoa, back it up, Bob. I don't know how I did this, but Colorado, Connecticut comes after Colorado. Been a long time since I've been in Connecticut, so I'm just going to skip Connecticut because I really haven't traveled there lately. Delaware is interesting because of the Delmarva Peninsula and, of course, the beaches. So when I talk about Maryland, I'm going to talk about Ocean City, which is right there on the Chesapeake Bay or the Atlantic Ocean. Not the bay, the Atlantic Ocean. And so when you're in Ocean City, you just keep going on this road that goes along the beaches. It looks like 528. That takes you up all along the Delaware coast. There's a Delaware Seashore State Park, and there's a bunch of other state parks and wildlife reserves all along that area. But Bethany Beach and Rehoboth Beaches are just great beach towns in the summer. So if you go to Delaware during the summer, and I'm going to get to Maryland, I'm going to get to Ocean City when I get to Maryland. But if you go to Delaware in the summer, it's really busy. It's really interesting. Okay, now we can talk about Florida. So Florida, where do I begin with Florida? So I started going to Florida when I was a kid, before there was really that much development just very far north of Miami Beach. So my grandfather lived in Jupiter, Tequesta, Florida, which is right near West Palm Beach. Essentially, it's the West Palm Beach metropolitan area now. And we used to drive down there. And so I can remember driving through the orange groves when there really wasn't much going on. I have really been all over Florida. But I would just say that – so I the last time I went to Florida, I went Route 1 south all the way to the Keys and back. Then I came up – so I went down the East Coast all the way from Georgia all the way down to the Florida Keys and the bottommost key that there is, and then came back around through the Everglades, cutting across through the Everglades. There's a highway that cuts through the Everglades, and it is truly an amazing highway. I got to find Southern Florida because I have to talk about, you know, right now I'm in the cities of Florida, so I'm going to turn the page here and just talk about that highway that cuts across the Everglades. So if you're around West Palm Beach, here's what I did. I drove, I think it's either 41 or it is 75, but I'm pretty sure they call it Alligator Alley or Everglades Parkway. Now, that is a freeway, but that is a fascinating trip. If you do it at night, you feel like you're in space because it's so dark, you can't see anything except the road in front of you. And a lot of times the road is above the water, so it's lifted up. So it's just fascinating. And that's a really great trip. Of course, Jupiter, Sarasota, you know, on the West Coast, St. Pete, Tampa, the Panhandle. I loved Sarasota. Actually, the Panhandle is really interesting. That's where Mexico Beach was. And so there's some great beach towns right along the Panhandle, including Destin, Florida, and Panama City, and all through there. So what's the other one that we all talk about I mentioned when I was coming through the what they call the Redneck Riviera? So there's Destin. Oh, yeah, Pensacola, which is a Navy town. And oddly enough, Pensacola and Panama City, there's a lot of UFOs in that particular area. So if you're doing that Gulf trip where you're driving along the coastline, you're going to take 98 all the way along the Panhandle. Don't do 10 because you're up in the middle. So you're driving through Pine Country. But if you do whatever it is, 98, and then it becomes at one point, yeah, it's 98 all the way across to Pensacola, and then you just stay on 98 and you're going to be along the beaches, or you can do 182, which takes you along Gulf Shores. So Florida is just an amazing place. There's so many different places to go there. Georgia, I'm not going to say much, except I've been through recently through Valdosta and other places as a kid. You know, of course, we drove through there before the freeways were built, which goes back quite a way. They did build the freeways through Georgia late in this country, and of course, I remember that. Georgia, I haven't been to too much. Of course, I've been to Atlanta. Almost everyone has for whatever reason. So let's move on to Idaho, because Georgia, there's not really much for me to talk about in particular, but we'll talk about Idaho. Idaho is a very interesting place, obviously. I've been through Bonner's Ferry on 2, Sandpoint on through to Washington, and of course across 12 from Missoula to Lewiston, and I have taken many a business trip to Boise, which is actually a pretty cool forward-thinking kind of town. So we got a bunch of pages to turn here. Let's talk about Illinois. Now, I was born in Illinois, so believe me, I've had a lot of travel in Illinois as a kid, and been through, you know, all of the places in Illinois that you can go to, all along the lock and dam thing, going down to St. Louis, and of course northern Illinois, including Galena, is amazing. I think Galena is really a great trip, but there's a bunch of other places. Ronald Reagan's hometown, Dixon, Illinois, is there, and I never realized. I thought Dixon was like a post office and a grocery store. Dixon is like a big city. Dixon is a weird sort of large big city in that whole region. And of course, I figured out how to get back up to Wisconsin without spending a lot of money on fuel by angling up. And so I've been through Joliet and all that. So you go, if you're in the southern part, if you're south of Chicago, you ride all the way up through there. If you angle up, you go through Joliet and you end up going through Dixon and Galena and on up into Wisconsin. The other thing is, I didn't spend too much time in southern Illinois. When I worked in St. Louis, I used to drive from Chicago to St. Louis every week. But, southern Illinois is something you kind of just pass through. And I'll give you two experiences about driving in Illinois. One is if you're driving across sort of in the middle of the state, it's almost like driving through the Everglades. There's just nothing. It's agriculture. And if you run out of gas, you're in deep, you know what, if you're driving through that area. When you get down to the tip, now I went down to the tip of Illinois, southern Illinois, to go to the eclipse, which was the longest point of the eclipse at Maconda, Illinois, with my best friend Steve Steiner. That was a great, that was really an amazing experience. But that whole area of Illinois is often forgotten, and it is absolutely diametrically completely different from the Chicago area. All right, so let's go on to the great state of Indiana, which of course is Vice President Mike Pence's home. And if I don't mention some part of Illinois or Indiana or some of these states that you think is cool, you know, that's fine because I've had a different experience. There's no reason for me to talk about Chicago. But a lot of people, when they go to Illinois, they just go to Chicago. And there's a ton of things to do and see in Illinois. And of course, Illinois was at one time considered a frontier state, and there's a lot of Indian history as well in Illinois. All right, enough of that. So let's talk about Indiana. So growing up in Chicago, our perception of Indiana was the U.S. Steelworks at Gary. We could smell it on spring mornings, the sulfur, and that is the smell that I associate with spring, if you really want to know, that smell of sulfur that comes with making steel. And we used to see the flames lighting the sky at night when we were kids. So that's what I think of as Indiana. But I recently have spent a lot of time in Indiana. If you listen to the podcast, you know I went last fall across the state on highway. First of all, you can go up and down the state on 41 north and south. I've done that a ton of times. And most recently, I took 24 across the state. And Indiana is a pretty amazing place. Well, then we come to Iowa. And of course, I don't need to say anything about Iowa because, you know, I was there for almost a month this year covering the caucuses. Iowa is I'm just going to say it. Iowa is a wealthy state. Now, there are some depressed areas of Iowa. Obviously, if you get into eastern Iowa, you're going to go down to Burlington. You might see some – that is an old sort of industrial area, and there's some sort of depressed things there. But even so, Burlington's a pretty nice town. But my favorite town in Iowa is Fairfield. The second thing is interesting, I think, and really compelling for me about Iowa is Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde spent a lot of time in Iowa, and most significantly Dexter, Iowa, which I did not know used to be before I-80, Route 6 went through Dexter. And so Dexter was one of those crossroads. They had 65 or so businesses and 6 or 7 gas stations at the time that Bonnie and Clyde went there. If you go to Dexter, Iowa today, there's really nothing there. But there was a park up there called Dexfield Park, and that is where they had one of their big shootouts. And so that's – Dexter is right on 80, several miles south of Des Moines. So it's right around there in the sort of mid-central part of the state. But Iowa, I've learned to have a new appreciation for Iowa, and I think that's kind of neat. So then we go to Kansas. And, you know, Iowa certainly qualifies this for this as well. Kansas is definitely a storm-chasing state. There's no question about that. I've taken 36 West to Topeka, Wichita, Coffeyville, which is another Bonnie and Clyde site. And, of course, Norman, where the National Weather Service is, and famously getting kicked out of the radar facility at Norman by the government, where I always seem to come into contact with people that kick me out. But also, the western part of Kansas is pretty amazing, too. And then they have some weird toll roads that you'll come in contact with in Kansas. If you're going to travel through Kansas, you got to be aware of that. But I try to stay on the back roads. All right, then we're going to get to one of my favorite states, and that is Kentucky, which is obviously one of the first old western states. I've taken Route 60 across East and West Kentucky. Lexington is beautiful. You see farms and you see horse ranches that will just blow you away. I mean, they have the entries I drove past this one place, obviously a horse ranch, that was like a picture. It looked like Disneyland. And the gates to get into this place were made out of this very expensive brick and stone and brass fittings that were shiny. It's like, wow, there's some depth. It's amazing. And it's like, is that somebody's house? You just look up in there and you're just blown away. And of course, Richmond, Kentucky. And then there's Pikeville, which is kind of the center piece area for the big Hatfield and McCoy battle that went on for generations right down there on the West Virginia border. So I love Kentucky. And then, of course, Louisiana. So Louisiana, I'm just going to say it. Obviously, everybody goes to New Orleans and they think they've been to Louisiana. But Louisiana is really the rural areas, and of course the roads, which are built on stilts, and you drive across the swamps on these roads, which are lifted up. And of course Huey Long, the great populist politician from Louisiana, built a lot of those roads. And if you really want to see something, go to Baton Rouge, which is the capital of Louisiana, and you will see a building, if you're from Minneapolis, that looks very much like the Fouché Tower. And it's my understanding, I could be wrong, that the same guy designed the Capitol of Louisiana building, and it has a mural in there that is just amazing. So that's a great place to go. I mentioned that I was going to talk about Maryland. So I'm going to start with the Delmarva Peninsula, which you get into from Virginia at Newport News. I'll talk about that in a second. And that's really a great experience, because if you're on the back roads, you're driving through these rural areas. But then you get up into Maryland. And so that whole area of the Delmarva Peninsula, that takes you up to Ocean City. Ocean City is an experience unto itself. Now, I remember Ocean City back in the 80s. And it still is like this. So if you drive along the East Coast and you go to the beach towns, so New Jersey, and I'll get to that, but Ocean City is one of the granddaddies. Ocean City, when people think of beach towns, they think of these pretty beach towns like they have in California. Ocean City is a blue-collar beach town, and for that reason, it is one of the coolest places that you could ever want to visit. I just love OC. We called it OC, and we used to go there all the time. It's really cool. Massachusetts, I have been to Boston, obviously. I haven't spent too much time in Massachusetts recently. And the best thing about Massachusetts is the thruway. So I guess it would be 90 that takes you, once you get out of Boston and Worcester, it takes you through those sort of mountainy areas, the Berkshires, all through there. And it's really a mind blower. It's an incredible highway. And I went through at night, and I'm sorry that I did that. So let's talk about Michigan. I never thought very much of Michigan. Obviously, I'm from Illinois, so people used to go to Michigan all the time. I didn't go too much. We used to go sailing from up there a couple times with my friend Steve. His uncle had a boat, and I remember a day in which we drank beer and got really sick on the boat on Lake Michigan. But Michigan, the real juice of Michigan is the Upper Peninsula. So you go all the way up through there, the Huron coastline all the way to Detroit, and there are tons of really cool places. Sault Ste. Marie, Sheboygan, and all these places, Alpena. I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it or not, but you come all the way down through this hole on 23 all the way through, and then that turns into 25, and you keep going. You go through Bay City, Saginaw is up in there, and you come down through these places like Port Hope, Harbor Beach, Forester, and so forth, and Port Huron all the way back down, and then you come through Detroit, and that's how I got down to Ohio that time. That was a fantastic trip because I was going to the Republican convention at Cleveland. And I'm sorry if I'm rushing, but I don't want to go too long. And we're at about 30 minutes now, a little more than 30 minutes, but I'm going to keep going. The Mississippi Gulf Coast. So the next state in this thing is Mississippi. And I want to talk about a sad thing when it comes to Mississippi. I'm going to skip Minnesota because if you know me, I live in Minnesota, so I don't have much to say. I do like the southwestern part of the state more than the northern part of the state, which will upset a lot of people from Minnesota because they rave about the range. But let's talk about Mississippi. So obviously, I talked about Mobile and Gulfport and Biloxi. These were the coastal towns. But I came across, as I came through Mississippi, and years ago I went through Mississippi, and again, that's pine country in the northern and central part of the state. And I went through in the summer, and it was blazing hot, which I love. But I happened to go through, and I don't remember what it was. It might have been Gulfport. It could have been Mobile. But if you have to look it up. But Jeff Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, but also a very highly respected senator from Mississippi before the war, the Civil War, and the defense secretary, which at that time was the Secretary of War. So Jeff Davis was really, had it not been for the Civil War, he would have been definitely gone down in history as a great man. But the Civil War, his choice to fight for the South was very unfortunate. He became the president of the Confederacy, and he had this beautiful house on the beach, literally. And you drive by, and it's just unbelievable. And his, I just saw it, and I thought, you know, this guy spent most of his time in Richmond. I don't know if he ever got back to this house, because it was stunningly beautiful. And I just want to mention that. It was really cool. There's a lot of history in Mississippi, obviously a lot of Civil War fighting that went on there. So that's kind of cool. Then we get to Missouri. So Missouri is very interesting, obviously, because of St. Louis. That's the biggest city. But then there's Jefferson and Cape Girardeau and all these other places that you can go. And of course, the Ozarks. People forget about the Ozarks in Missouri. And Missouri was one of those states that Bonnie and Clyde traversed a lot. And so Missouri is really, really interesting. I didn't mention it, but going back to Illinois and, you know, eastern Wisconsin, that also was gangster land, because the gangsters would drive up through the northern part of Illinois and go to these resorts, and also Michigan, Benton Harbor and places like that. But they'd also go, you know, over to Minneapolis and St. Paul, and specifically St. Paul, where the mayor of St. Paul kind of just let them be. So they were always traversing that part of the country. For Bonnie and Clyde, it was Missouri and Oklahoma. They spent a long time in Missouri, obviously, famously in a shootout in Joplin, I think it was. So Missouri is very, very interesting. Okay, so now we're going to move on to Montana. I want to mention Montana. So if you decide to bug out, it's easy to get to Montana, because all you got to do is drive up through the northern part of Minnesota, go across to the western part of the state, jump on 2, which I think is the highway that, yeah, US 2 runs from Williston all the way across the state of Montana. And it is an incredible experience. You know, I'm kind of rushing a little bit, but I got to say that I ran out of gas in Montana once. Actually, that was in North Dakota. So I'll wait till we get to North Dakota to talk about that. But I love Great Falls, and I love the mountain region of Montana. Glasgow is also one of those places. I spent the night in Glasgow in my truck at the Amtrak lot, because they had plug-ins, Kalispell, Libby, and of course the mountain areas of Montana, where I famously – oh, no, that was Wyoming, so we'll skip that. Okay, so let's talk about Nebraska real quick. Nebraska is the best – the next state on the list, and of course nobody ever talks about Nebraska. But I will say this. Nebraska, aside from the city of Omaha and Lincoln and having that bridge across to the west and that cool thing that they have with the buffalo and all that, they also have I believe it is the last remaining sod home. And at one time, those sod homes were all over that part of the country. So if you go through Montana, it's almost right over you when you get over the border from Ohio, Iowa. You'll see the signs for the last sod house, and it's really something to see, because you can understand what it must have been like to come to that place in the 1800s and try to make a new life and live in a friggin' sod hut. So obviously the western part of – I'll tell you a story about Nebraska. So I was coming across Nebraska heading west, and there's a part where you get to – you know, I don't even know where it is. It's probably – you have to be pretty close to Wyoming to see it. And we were on the time – at the time we were probably on 80, so we were probably near Kimball. And you see those mountains that are across, you see the Rockies, and they're gigantic, and you're kind of down in a valley, and those mountains look just amazing, because you know, they're just so big compared to Nebraska. And of course, Nebraska is so flat, so a lot of people just consider it over, you know, flying over territory. But I love Nebraska. Let's see, where are we going from here? We did Montana, we did Nebraska. Let's talk about New Jersey real quick. So we're going to talk about New Jersey. And all I'm going to say about New Jersey is this. Two things. One, I think it's Plainfield where the Hindenburg blew up. There is a little museum there. If you get the chance, you should go there. The other thing is the Jersey Shore. So from Cape May to Atlantic City is some of the finest beaches in the world. So Cape May is very upscale. Of course, Atlantic City is very downscale and everything in between all through the Jersey Shores. I love the Jersey Shore. It was one of the best trips I've ever taken. I went in September, took my kid to school, and then came across went up through the Jersey Shore. He went to school in Baltimore, so I went up there from there, and it was amazing. All right, let's talk about another amazing state, New Mexico, which we all know. We know about New Mexico from the show Breaking Bad, but there is so much more to New Mexico, whether it is White Sands, Las Cruces, Alamogordo. White Sands is amazing. And White Sands is a missile range. And I realized when I was driving across there, and most of New Mexico is virtually desolate. I must have been on 380 or 60 that I went through Roswell, and then I went down to whatever that state is next to it. I don't even know what it was. Texas. Yeah, that state. But New Mexico really is the land of enchantment. I can't tell you how many times I'd be driving along and I'd see something like, so they have that big radio telescope out there somewhere. And I'm driving along and I'm seeing this and seeing this and seeing this. And I'm on a back road and there's nobody else around. You're the only car on the road. And I'm like, what is that? And I start going over railroad tracks. And as I get close, I go, that's that radio telescope in that movie with Jodie Foster. And what it is they can move that radio telescope around and they move it across the road on these railroad tracks because the dishes, they're gigantic. They're like 10-story high dishes are on railroad tracks. So that was just a knockout. And of course, Roswell is a kick, and Las Cruces is where I almost ran out of gas. And I was in this part of New Mexico where they don't have names. They're just, farm roads. And I almost ran out of gas. And I remember coming down into Las Cruces and being so thrilled. I was so thrilled I got an oil change as soon as I got to Las Cruces. So it was really cool. So everyone talks about New York. New York's one of those places I want to really get into, Adirondack and all that, when I get to New England, because I have not gone through there. Everyone talks about New York City. I've been to Albany. That's a different experience in New York. Rochester is a different experience in New York. And of course, the Thruway is quite an experience if you like highways. So let's talk about North Carolina. I was just in North Carolina about 6 months ago. Route 70 and 64 headed west. I went through Asheville and headed on west to Tennessee. North Carolina, it was in the fall. I would love to go there in the summer. I did have to drive a truck down there once when I was really young for this company I worked for to Asheville. And that was an amazing experience. I'll never forget that. That was a long time ago. So North Carolina is really cool. South Carolina, of course, I've been to, went and covered the presidential primary in the Republican primary in South Carolina, going from Columbia, which is more like Tennessee, all the way east down to the beaches. South Carolina has some amazing beaches, and that's another place that I want to spend more time with. North Dakota. Well, I did the pipeline protest, and what else did I do? I went across North Dakota at one point on a couple of different times in my life. I've been across North Dakota. One was when my friend Ted and I went to a wedding in Chicago, and then we just turned around and went out to Oregon to visit his brother. And then another time I was on, I guess it's five, going across. No, it was two, running across the state from Grand Forks to Minot to Williston. And I was on two. And I'll never forget that road, although I might have been on five the time that I was in a Trans Am. And I put a Post-it note over the gas gauge and didn't realize that I had nearly run out of gas. And I was in that section, probably Cavalier County or Rolette or Botineau County, where there just isn't anything. And I had to just drive until I got to the next gas station. I remember I coasted into town with no gas. That was pretty amazing. Let's see. again, trying to go as fast as I could. Ohio, don't have much to say about Ohio. I've been all over Ohio. I got a bunch of podcasts about that. Oklahoma, the last time I was in Oklahoma, I was in Dover. The middle part of the state is a really interesting. So if you're driving through Oklahoma and you go through the central part of the state, it's a very interesting part of the country, and it's very unique. You know, Oklahoma is one of the most unique states. It's sparsely populated, and there's a bunch of these little towns like Dover and others right along the way that are county seats, and they're just really cool. Let's talk about Oregon. The coastline in Oregon is amazing. Let's talk about Pennsylvania. Of course, my experience of Pennsylvania mostly is the Turnpike. I used to work in Pittsburgh. Youngstown is an old steel town, and that's interesting. York and Lancaster are different. They're farm towns. I've been to Rhode Island. I went and we drove the coast of Rhode Island, which didn't take more than a day. That was really interesting. And Rhode Island has a lot of old shipping type stuff, which is really cool. We all know South Dakota, and we know South Dakota because of Sturgis, which I love. South Dakota is basically, I refer to it as outlaw country. So Deadwood, Lead, Keystone, and of course Rapid City, and everyone knows Sioux Falls. But the eastern part of South Dakota is very different from the western part of South Dakota. And of course, I've never camped in the Badlands. I still want to do that. Tennessee is one of my favorite states, whether it's Nashville, Chattanooga, Route 70 across the state, Route 64 in or out of Virginia. Tennessee is worth a visit, and it's a booming state these days. Texas, what can I say about Texas? You got to listen to the podcast going down to the beaches all the way over to Brownsville. Texas is truly amazing, but I got to say the beaches were great, but hill country in Texas is worth a visit. Utah, all I can think about when I think about Utah is the Donner Party. Even though that's not where it all happened, they had to go through there. And Utah is rough country. Going through Utah, I remember the rock formations and the red rocks and passing through a small town at sundown that was like a farm town. And I remember a truck that was all had red mud on it and a couple of old farmers wearing checker shirts. I remember that. Virginia, I mentioned the Delmarva Peninsula, Norfolk, which is what they call Norfolk, Blue Ridge Parkway. Also, way back in western Virginia, coming in from the west, Bristol, Virginia, obviously. And of course, Monticello, which is where Jefferson, had his home. The state of Washington, different story. The Cascade Mountains are truly incredible. Port Townsend, Seattle, heading down the coastline over on the Pacific coast. Wenatchee is an amazing place. Coming across through the Selkirk Mountains, Colville, and into the Wenatchee National Forest is truly something that you do not want to miss. And it's easy to forget Washington. There are three Pacific states, and people always forget Washington, even though we all think of Seattle. West Virginia, I'm just going to say this because I mean it. The whole friggin' state is truly an amazing place, West Virginia. And then, of course, Wisconsin. I'll just say one thing. I did a podcast going across Route 8, the Dillinger route, all the way down to Chicago. And I think I would have to say that I believe that Wisconsin, especially in northern Wisconsin and mid-central Wisconsin, when you get into the rural areas, I'm willing to bet that Wisconsin is very similar to what it was like back in the 30s. Finally, Wyoming. And the only thing I'll say about Wyoming is I was in a snowstorm in Wyoming. It's a great story, and I did a podcast. It's all just do a search for Wyoming and road trips, and you'll see the podcast from Wyoming. What an experience that was, coming down the mountains at 7% grades, following and behind semis and in front of semis, going 10 miles an hour in Mobile Podcast Command, thinking to myself, if this thing slips off the highway, then I'm dead. So Wyoming's a bath. The last thing is Canada. I've been to British Columbia and Calgary. It's amazing. BC is an amazing experience. Vancouver is an amazing experience as well. So very quickly, the whole thing with travel, especially if you're going to bug out, it's all about planning, the type of vehicle you have, and so forth, and staying loose and having a loose schedule when traveling and picking your stops so that you get to do what you want to see. So there you go. Most of the places I've been, the places I want to be, and we're going to close it with that. Thanks for listening to podcast 911. So one thing that I'm sure is going to be happening later on this summer, because it happens every year in late July, that is the air show. And that is an experience you don't want to forget. Been there, too. I should have talked about that when I was talking about Wisconsin at Oshkosh. It's really something. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, you know that Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. If you want to see the guy that created this amazing system, his name is Mark Korn. He will be live at the EAA convention this summer, and it's a must-see event because there will be people 6, 7, 8 deep waiting for Mark to do what he does. So it's something to see. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 911, just to get you away from the craziness for a short period of time. Thanks for listening to podcast 911. Oddly enough, the Bob Davis Podcast, curing your coronavirus madness through discussing something as fun and exciting and just freeing as travel.